those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. I'm sure you get more joy seeing me in pink than I do. If nothing else, you know that today is a unique Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, and it's called that because the opening antiphon is Gaudete in Domino Semper, or rejoice in the Lord always. It's a reminder that this is a joyful time, a time of expectation. Christmas is close. In the first reading, Isaiah is pumping up the people, reminding them that God will deliver them, that this second exodus is not permanent. Joy and gladness will replace sorrow and mourning. In the second reading, the early Christians are losing steam. They expected that the Lord would return quite soon after his ascension. I imagine even the apostles were wondering when the second coming would be. They probably couldn't have imagined that we would still be waiting for it today. James is giving encouragement. Be patient, like the farmer who must wait for his crops to grow. He also reminds us that we don't want to be on the wrong side of things when the Lord comes. He points to the prophets who endured hardship with patience and endurance. Isaiah, for example. The gospel highlights another prophet, the last of the prophets, the gateway to the New Testament, John the Baptist. Now, I don't know if you caught this, but at the beginning of today's passage, John sends his disciples to Jesus with a question. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? This is a surprising question coming from a man who leapt in his mother's womb at the presence of Christ, the man who baptized Christ and experienced God's pleasure with his son. Yet here it is, laid out for generations. Are you really the one? Some scholars say that John sent his disciples with this question so that they would meet Jesus and follow them themselves. It's a great way to keep John in a good light, and it would make sense considering all that John had experienced. Others think that John really did have doubts. He's stuck in prison, and the Messiah he's been preparing for hasn't been making huge waves. He's actually very quiet in his ministry. The Jews expected a Messiah who would make sweeping changes, who would inspire the people, lead them in political, social, and economical changes. Instead, Jesus moves away from Jerusalem. John is very definitely in prison, and this freedom that the Messiah is supposed to bring does not feel very free. I met a man on my vacation who was violently atheist. He'd had a few beers, and when he found out I was a priest, he looked at me and said, "Do you really believe that crap? I suppose so, or you would be out of a job." I didn't even have time to respond before he continued. "I mean, really, you believe that Jesus was the Son of God?" He went on to explain that he had 18 years of Catholic education and that he felt duped. "Why don't you teach reality to kids so that they aren't hung out to dry when they are older?" "Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe that God became man and that he lived on earth. He performed many miracles. He sacrificed himself on the cross and rose from the dead. And I would probably be shoveling asphalt with my buddy if I didn't have this job." He laughed, and then the conversation continued for quite a while. Everything from miracles or hogwash to church hierarchy, marriage, tax exemption, and if Jesus would catch a fish for me the next day. The point is, we can be extremely educated. We can even go through the motions for many years, but faith is something more. All of us have had moments where we stop and ask, "Are you really the one?" John, sitting in a dank cell, hearing accounts of Jesus who is not fulfilling expectations, probably had this moment. So he goes to the source. He sends his disciples to find out. And what is Jesus' response? "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them." This answer would have struck John, who knew Scripture, who would have recognized Isaiah. Isaiah spoke of the deaf hearing, the blind seeing, the lame leaping like deer, the dead becoming alive, of good news for the oppressed, the brokenhearted, captives, and prisoners. These were all signs of the coming Messiah. And we know that Jesus was not disappointed with John. He did not rebuke him or dismiss the question. No, he answered it, and then he praised John. Why do we have these readings on Gaudete Sunday? Because Christ brings joy. The message is simple. God will send a Messiah. This Messiah will restore his people. He will banish mourning and sorrow. Isaiah proclaimed it, James reiterated it, and John was reminded with great compassion. So why are there people who feel so duped? Why do we have moments of doubt? We're human, and we have human experiences. Sometimes life is just hard. The question shouldn't be, why do we have these experiences? It should be, what do we do with them? John went straight to the source. He was met with an answer straight to his heart and a compassion he probably did not expect. Praise, in fact. I guarantee it brought joy to his heart. The man I met asked me, and I probably let him down. But when he is actually ready to listen to God, I know he will find compassion and joy. Monday at 7, we have our penance service here. 8 priests, so you don't have to sit and stew for very long. You don't go to confession because of my boyish charm or for free counseling. You go to bring your failings and your doubt to God, to lay it at his feet and to let him speak to your heart, to banish sorrow and replace it with joy. Every Sunday is joyful, but I'll wear pink twice a year to remind you, and I hope you take advantage of the sacrament tomorrow as well. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those who are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you.